What's up, and welcome to the People of the Court World podcast. Today we have Mystery. He's a content creator, YouTube creator, musician, the whole package. If you'd like to introduce yourself some more.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. First of all, shout out to Demon.
Thank you. So I wanted to ask, what's the deal with Perry the Platypus?
Oh man. All right, you ready for this story?
Yes, dude.
Okay, so for years now, probably this entire decade at this point, I played the series NBA 2K.
Right.
And main game, basically. And I started wearing fedoras randomly in like a couple years ago. And everyone, every single person would be like, why are you wearing a fedora, dude? Take that off. And it kind of just became a joke because it's like everybody got irritated for no reason from it. And I was like, you know what? Fedora gang, it is, I guess. And then I found my old fedora and I was like, oh man, it's too small. But then I was like, what can like I make a mascot out of this? Because I didn't really show my face and I still don't really show it too often. And I was like, wait a minute. I remember Phineas and Ferb back in the day was like one of the best shows. I used to always watch it. Perry the Platypus has a fedora. Boom, that's like my new mascot. And then now it's my profile picture for the last like year.
Nice, dude. Fucking, he's definitely like, I think probably my favorite character off of that whole show. No cap.
Facts, dude. And like the gifts too, bro, like that you can get on like Twitter and all that is like the funniest thing. It's like you got him like twerking, you got him like dancing around. It's funny, dude.
Like, I think people underestimate Perry, but he was actually in that show like a fuck ton.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure he's in constantly every episode, and there's always that joke with Doofens merch that's just going on like crazy.
Yeah. And like when you know, at the end of the day when he's just like chilling in the backyard, Phineas and Ferb were just like, he's a platypus, he doesn't really do much.
Dude, he'd just be vibing, dude. He'd be like sitting there like, if only if you knew.
Only if only, dude. Fucking that show was wild.
Yeah, and then you got, I'm telling mom. It's like, yo, come on.
And then the episode where, like, mom actually sees the shit.
Yeah, dude. I loved that show growing up, man. It was a great show.
Definitely. So what, like, what made you think to start, like, this whole, I guess, like, brand?
Just the entire, like, my whole brand is in general is, like, Mystery?
Yeah, like, I guess, like, what, like, made you think to, like, start the YouTube channels, the organization, like, do music and everything?
Oh, like, man. This goes back to 2013, I'd say. It's pretty long. So I was in middle school, kind of just chilling. And growing up, like, I'm in the era of, like, the generation where everybody has everything. Like, they always have computers and smartphones. I didn't have that growing up. I was just kind of on my, like, drug dealer phone and literally like just calling my mom saying, hey, can I go to the Y, and like just that, and just that's all I'd use my phone for. Never had a laptop or desktop or anything. Then I finally get like my mom gets a tablet, and I'm like, oh my god, like my mind was just blown. I was like, yo, YouTube, what is this? And this is like 2013 when like PewDiePie was first like starting to come up a lot and all these other guys that were gamers, and I was always a gamer growing up playing 360 and PS2.
Right. So
then I was like, I want to be like PewDiePie. I was like, PewDiePie it is. And then Chris Smoove, which is this like commentating YouTuber, one of the greatest commentators ever on YouTube. And they inspired me so much. And I didn't know what I was doing at all. I just did like corny little vlogs or those like little kid vlogs you'll see on YouTube. Just like, hey guys, you know, this is my TV. Like basically just like that. And I did that for like 500 videos in a year, dude. Because I'll just come home from school, just talk, end the video, upload. And then when it came to gaming, I was like, I thought I was such a big brain at the moment, dude. I was like, dude, I'm the smartest man in the world. I would just put like a desktop or something like in front of my TV and just put the camera pointing at the TV because I didn't have a capture card and I didn't know what I was doing. So I just be like, yeah, guys, we're playing GTA 4 today. And it's like, this is like terrible quality, like no lights, nothing. It's like, it was just so cringy.
Bruh,
and then, dude, like that name, I had a weird ass name back then. And it was Andy 13 SGPG, and it was a weird name.
Oh.
Yeah, and that brand stuck with me until, like, 2019. Like, wow, that name. Dude. Yeah, dude. And then, like, time went on. I got a PlayStation 4, and if you know that PlayStation 4, you can basically just stream right off of it and edit off of it and all that.
Yeah.
So I was, like, my mind was blown again. That was, like, another just, like, double mind blown right there. So then I started uploading. just random videos and just learned how to edit. Then like 2017 came along, I started getting better and better. Then I made a little bit of money off YouTube at that point, actually, which is kind of cool. I was like 16 or 15. It was actually really cool.
Nice.
And then 2019 came along. That's around the time everybody was just about the Fedora thing. And that's whenever I was like, you know what? Hashtag Fedora gang. At that point, January of 2019, this channel is actually up right now on YouTube. It's called Mystery Monocle 2. And that's how I created this mystery brand. Basically, what I did, I wanted to be like Jacksepticeye or like Dashy Games, like those like really entertaining people. And so I played a few games and I was trying to come up a name that was completely different than my current name. The first name that popped up was the Mysterious Monocle. Cause I was like, I thought of the Monopoly Man like right away. And I was like, oh, and he kind of has a top hat kind of thing going on. So that was my like avatar. I was a Mysterious Monocle, and then it couldn't fit on anything. It couldn't fit on Twitter, PSN, nothing. So I just changed to Mystery Monocle, kept that, changed all my whole branding to that. And then, you know, changed my name up to Ace Mystery, Eternal Mystery, and now I'm just Mystery, just like that. And that's kind of how it all came to be for at least the YouTube part of it.
Right. Nice. Yeah, I remember like probably like 20, either like 2014 or 2015, I tried to like do YouTube shit. And I took just something I had in my house, and I sat like a camera up on it and recording my computer screen and me playing Minecraft. And like I was doing like the worst commentary that I had ever heard out of anything.
Dude, do you remember Bandicam?
Oh, dude, yeah, Bandicam.
Dude, everybody used to use that as a capture card for their PC. And looking back at it, it's like nowadays we got OBS and it's like so much better.
Yeah,
and it's free too.
Like, I think I tried to use Bandicam once, but OBS is definitely much better.
Yes, like it's insane. It blew my mind when I eventually got a PC in 2019 and like was able to, because I always use a school laptop throughout the years just to like do all my stuff. So when I got a PC and started using OBS, I was like, wait, this is this easy? Like, but yeah, whenever it comes to like the music, I mean, that's probably the second most interesting story is like, I grew up like, I don't know, like people always called me a prodigy when it came to music, and I hate being called that because it's like, I'm not good.
Right.
But like growing up, like I just played mad instruments, like, and I'll try them first try and be like goaded at them. Like people used to call me Squidward at one point too, because I played the clarinet for like, that was my main instrument in school for like 4 years. And I would never practice that. And I think people used to be jealous because like they would be practicing constantly. And I would just leave my clarinet at school, never take it home, just come into class and be like playing it perfectly. I'm like, what? I'm like, and everyone would just be so confused.
I played the baritone. I was in band for like 2 years in middle school. And one summer I came back, you know, and I just had forgotten how to play. And so I literally had to quit band because I forgot how to play my instrument. It was the wackest time.
Dude, that must have sucked because I don't know, that just never happens to me. Like I'm just naturally good at instruments for some reason.
I'm not good with like instruments. I'm good at like writing. If there was like a songwriting class, I'd probably ace that.
Dude, we had one of those in seventh grade. It was like something like Hip Hop Unlock, it was called, I think.
Nice.
And we all got to like write our verses and stuff, and we got to like perform it. And I just never did, even though like the teacher kept saying, yours is the best, yours is the best. And I was like, I don't really care. Like it didn't matter to me. And like, I started making stuff around that time too. It was like eighth grade, seventh grade. And that was like, what, like 5 years ago now. And essentially at the time I was just, you know, inspired by like Eminem, stuff like that. And just 50 Cent, all those kind of guys around Dr. Dre, kind of that little group. And that was kind of like my writing style. And I made a bunch of music like for a few years like that. And like, I used to be called like alternative hip hop, people would call it, because it wasn't like pure hip hop or anything. It was kind of closer to what it is nowadays before it, like this kind of whole wave came.
Yeah.
So then I just like took a break for a while. Then I came back and like, my name has always been the same, A13. And essentially I came back and I was like, kind of more into that alternative hip hop because I was like on the edge before. And I started, and all the music that's on my YouTube channel, like my music one, that's like some older stuff you can kind of see the transition into like more of what I currently do, which is like emo rap type stuff. And it's like a little bit different. And it's like, and nowadays I'm like, you know, switching up a little bit more and trying to figure out exactly what I'm going for. But that's kind of how the music kind of got started. And like, I'm inspired by Peep. And right now I'm inspired by Convoke a lot. Do you know who Convoke is?
I have not. I've never heard of him.
Dude, he's a great artist, man. He's up next with the Black Heart. You already know, but he's like the biggest underground guy right now. Him and Aries.
Nice, dude. Yeah, I, you know, like I do this podcast and shit, so I'm kind of like, am required to be in the underground scene, and like in doing that, I found out like it's way cooler than like, I guess like fan like a lot of like big rappers and shit. It's just it's a much better like. A much better field, I guess, because they work with their music, interact with fans and shit, and I think that's cool.
It's just like a lot more collected, and people will take you in more. Like Convoke, he literally, he'll use like Convoke type beats on YouTube and like shout them out and stuff, and like pay them. It's crazy.
That's awesome. So I'm looking at like your different YouTube channels, and you got Eternal Mystery, Mystery Monocle, and Mystery Mano.
Yeah.
So like, what's the deal with having like three separate channels?
Honestly, it's just about making the entire brand tremendously bigger, because if I just have one channel and it's like, let's say it's just my main one with 20,000 subscribers, then there's only one place where people can find me at. But then you look at the other two, one has almost 500, which I barely even upload on that one. It has like 20 videos. And then the third one only has like three, I think. And it's like, those are just getting started, but they're gaining subscribers and views. If I can be known within those separate communities, as well as just being known in general, is better, because, you know, on the main channel, I kind of stick to a certain game. Second channel, I stick to a game. Sometimes I upload other stuff. And then the third channel, I kind of just stick to like more teaching people stuff about YouTube and helping them kind of understand more behind the scenes, because I can literally qualify to be a YouTube manager with an MCN, which is a multi-channel network. And low-key, those are scams. I'm just going to tell you that right now. They're scams, but that's why I'm not doing that. But I am a YouTube manager, like, under the table with, like, my friend Eternal Mabel. Shout out to him. You know, great YouTuber.
Yeah,
got a little bit of subs, but, yeah, I'm manager for him.
Yeah, man. I'm looking at, like, at down the Mystery Monocle challenge, the channel, and, like, I'm seeing all this stuff like the free PS Plus, the free V-Bucks.
Yeah, that's low-key just like not a money grab, but like a view grab, like to kind of like help me out, because you need a certain amount of watch hours to get monetized on YouTube.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like my little free, like, hey, give me some views real quick.
Like, you got how to get 10,000 V-Bucks, got 200 views, how to get free PlayStation Plus, 2,600.
And a lot of the videos that I do like that are glitches, most of them aren't even like me showing like, hey, here's a glitch. It's mostly like me exposing people who do fake ones.
Damn. Shit, yeah, I've definitely like gone in like looking for free shit before and like tried like 18 methods.
Yeah, dude.
And none there's of them so fucking many work. Out there.
So many fake.
So you play Minecraft, I see, as well as 2K.
Yeah, dude, Minecraft is what I consider the greatest game of all time, personally.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Like, people like to say Fortnite, and it's like, yeah, Fortnite's like probably the most popular game of all time, but Minecraft
is the greatest best game. Yeah. Like, I think definitely, I think Fortnite's definitely, it's a good game and all. Like, it's got, you know, it's got good aspects, it's got a good, it has a decent, you know, like player base, I guess. It's a lot of toxic people. There's also a lot of cool people who play, and I don't know. I think that it will definitely never be as good as Minecraft, but it has that hype.
Yeah, it has like a lot of support behind the actual brand. They had like, you gotta give Epic and just everybody behind the game some huge credit, because they really kind of made a whole new wave of like free to play games that like add-ons are not going to help you win the game better. It's going to help you just look better, I guess.
Yeah, just like just seem cooler in the game.
Yeah, so like you got to give them huge credit for not being like these companies like EA or Take-Two, where they just like just gouge the players for their money.
Fuck yeah, dude. I saw a meme the other day at it said, why is EA such a money grab? Pay $15 to find out.
Yeah, dude. There's so many memes like that, especially about EA. But lately, Take-Two has been just insane with GTA and NBA 2K. Those two are just money grabs right now.
I've got a friend who plays 2K like religiously, and he spent like a fuck ton of money on that game that I just could not fathom spending.
Dude, like the newest one that came out this year in September, I spent like $400 on that, and then I got banned. So then, like, all that's gone. So
shit.
Now it's just like no money spent over here, and just like I'm buying a PS5 here next week to play like the next gen version of it. So I'm gonna have to spend more money to buy it. If I can't play it on my actual account, then I gotta buy more currency to upgrade. And this is so much, dude.
Damn, bro. I played like the demo of 2K20, I think. You know, it's definitely like a cool game. I've just never been led into like basketball and shit. I played Madden for a while. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I play Madden too. And like, I think they do a better job with a lot of things. And, you know, I don't want to go too deep into this because I don't think a lot of people would really relate to it, because I'm just, you know, heavily into like specifically sports games and 2K, dude. Like,
right.
And I don't know about your demographic about playing 2K and all that. So I don't want to make the whole podcast about it, but just don't play 2K if you're listening to this. Just don't do it.
Yeah, man. So like, does this shit work on your Minecraft channel? I'm assuming like the XP forum and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Cause you know, just cause of like the other videos that were mentioned earlier, I didn't know if it was like a view grab for Minecraft. Is that even a thing?
It could be if you're doing like fake duplication glitches.
A Minecraft view grab. I never even like thought about that.
Like for me right now, I'm at like a huge crossroads for that Eternal Mystery channel, because it's like NBA 2K isn't looking the greatest, and like next gen, I don't think you know this, but like next gen is just the views are just split in half from current gen because nobody has a PS5. You probably heard about the no stock of the PS5s and Xboxes, like so hard to get one.
Yeah, man.
So nobody's watching that, and it's like, so for me, it's like, well, do I play Minecraft on the channel? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sitting here like going back and forth. Do I go over to Minecraft because Minecraft is guaranteed, or do I go stay with what I know for the last decade basically and just kind of keep going? So personally, you know, that's what I've been thinking of. But when it comes to the other channels, I'm dead set. I know exactly what I'm doing, and it's just about actually implementing everything and executing.
Right. I mean, like, in my opinion, you know, I don't know too much about like the whole YouTube scene because I've never like actually tried to do it. But mm-hmm. I guess like that diversifying your content could like potentially help with shit.
It definitely does. But you know how YouTube is nowadays. Like if we were doing YouTube, if we're talking this interview back in 2015, it would be 100% different. It's like, dude, stick to this and you'll specifically grow a ton, because looking back, 2020 vision, hindsight, the community just blew up that I'm currently in from 2015. If you've told me like this community would be as big as it is, I'd be like, no way, dude. Like YouTube in general as well, just how much bigger it got in 5 years. We thought it was big in 2015, and like 2020, dude, it's like, geez, it's like so big, especially with the pandemic now. Everyone else is watching now, and it's like,
yeah,
you got your grandma watching YouTube videos. Like, it's just weird,
bro. The other day, my mom was like watching, like, fucking a video on like how to make macaroons or some shit, you know?
Yeah, dude.
And like, an ad came up for PewDiePie, and she showed it to me, and she was like, hey, isn't this a guy that you watch? And I was like, yeah, like. I don't know. It was kind of weird, like having my mom like talk about PewDiePie and shit.
Yeah, dude. Now I got a question for you. When you first found PewDiePie, whenever it was, what did you call him? Did you call him PewDiePie or did you call him PewDiePie?
I called him PewDiePie. Like,
I called him PewDiePie when I first found him.
I think I started watching PewDiePie like, 2016 maybe.
Oh, I started watching it back in 2013, dude. Like. Back when he wasn't as good, like just kind of chilling. Yeah.
I think that he definitely thrived under that pretense of him not being like super professional or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like his content now, like, it's good, except for like the Among Us stuff. That's kind of, I don't know.
When he plays Among Us.
Yeah. He gets to like, I don't know. It just seems like scripted on Among Us.
I didn't even watch it personally. The only Among Us videos I watch is literally like Mr. Beast.
Nice. I think I watched like some of Dreams and I watched some of PewDiePie's. After that, I didn't really watch anything else. Just because it's like, it's kind of overhyped, I feel like. Because, I mean, it's a fun game and all, but it gets boring. Like, if you're not playing with like people that you know personally, it gets like really old really fast.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me.
Like, you know, the first time I played it, I played with like friends, obviously, because I was like just starting it. And there was like 8 of us, and we had 2 imposters and shit. And we played for like a couple hours. It was really fun. But then like the next day, I tried to play it like on random, you know. And it's just like not the same, like, you know, not being in like a call or anything with anybody, and having to like type everything out, and like, and no one is using like correct grammar.
Dude, the first time I ever played Among Us, I was streaming on YouTube, and what's it called? I had like 30 viewers. I was chilling. I was like, let's go, dude, because it's a new game and I didn't know if anybody was going to watch it. And I was hyped because I didn't have like a good setup at the time, like as good as I do right now. I didn't have face cam, none of that. Just had straight gameplay and just talking.
Right.
And a few of my friends were there. We had like 30 something viewers and we got hackers into the lobby and that just like ruined everything.
Oh,
I
went down
to like 10 viewers and I was like, yeah, I'm in a stream. Like the vibes were just ruined.
Yeah, I've never experienced hackers on Among Us.
Yeah, and it kind of does suck. I mean, it's like, it could be funny if they do it like certain hacks, but the hacks they were doing just like ended the game as soon as it started. And it's like, dude, like, it's not even fun.
Yeah, dude, like, get into a game, it just ends. And like, what do they have to gain from that, honestly?
Yeah, it's like, it's not even like they're winning, it's just they're ending the game completely.
Just to like, it's just to, I think it's just to put a tamp on other people's good day.
Yeah, dude, a lot of people just, you know, can't enjoy life.
That shit's whack, dude. You gotta enjoy life while you got it.
Yeah, dude.
That's like my new catchphrase.
But you asked about my organization earlier.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's pretty cool. So I have a lot of experience kind of in this field, but I'm necessarily not experienced at the same time. It's really weird. Like I've been in some really big orgs that whenever they first started, like something called Truly Blessed. Nowadays, they're not nearly as big as they were like a year ago, but a year ago, they were the biggest thing in the community, or one of the biggest. And I joined them in like 2018 when they were like super small, dude. And it's like, because I know a lot of people within this specific community I'm in. And I joined Truly. And for me, like I kind of noticed now, hindsight's 2020, obviously. Basically, I'm not meant to be a person that's kind of like a lower rank to kind of just chill and just listen to everybody. I'm kind of like a leader. Like I don't really fit if I can't control like a small, even just a small thing. Like if they gave me the smallest role possible, I'd be chilling. I'd be happy. But I can't just sit there and like do nothing because I feel so useless because like my mind has such a high capacity when it comes to this kind of stuff. It's like I can't just sit around and like just be a random person.
Right.
And it's like, so I never really realized that until the last like month or so. Because I joined recently. Before I started Eternal Uprise, I joined in like August, I think, something called Team Hoop Culture. Well, shout out to them. They're a great organization. And they're actually sponsored by Hoop Culture, which is a huge clothing brand. They're verified on Twitter and everything. And I got a lot of friends that are still in there. So shout out to everybody in there if you guys are watching somehow. But I joined them for a bit. And they were actually going to promote me to leader, but I personally just didn't really fit in on anything. So I kind of just left. And then created Eternal Uprise with some of my boys that I knew for a while that had experience as well, and just kind of were just chilling on their own, and didn't really go smoothly so far. But you know, we're grinding away, kind of just chilling, because that's a lot of things you need to do is just chill when you're in an organization. You can't be trying to do too much.
Yeah, you can't constantly be trying to upgrade and grow and shit. You need to kind of let it happen like organically sometimes.
Yeah, and it's like, another thing is like the community that I kind of put myself in, which is the 2K community, and they're known as like top 5 most toxic communities in like the gaming in general. And it doesn't help that the game is kind of going downhill right now itself, and like how Take-Two is just being greedy, and just everything overall is kind of just stacking on top of each other right now. And there are some bright lights that we're seeing lately. but it's still pretty dark within the community. So it's tough to kind of trust people, and because a lot of people just use you specifically in this type of community, because, you know, the community is way smaller than, for example, like COD or Fortnite or something. So the growth that they can get in the 2K community is more substantial than what if they were in a COD community to gain 200 subscribers. Like, that's way more in the 2K community than there would be in a COD community.
Right.
So, you know, I created Eternal just to kind of lead something. And it's like, you know, we're inspired by FaZe, specifically me. I'm inspired by FaZe a ton, man. Like, I watched FaZe since like 2014. That's like when they really started getting huge. And I watched people leave them. I watched people join them. And it's like super inspiring. Like, FaZe Rug, dude, like, he's super inspiring to me. Like, that man, what he has, like 15 million right now or something. Like, I watched him since he had like 600K. It's crazy to see him just grow. And FaZe isn't even about gaming anymore like that, but they still have their competitiveness and they win championships though.
Right.
Nice. So essentially, it's just like, I want to be able to have a team that can create great content overall. And we're not really going for competitive. It's just content. And that's why I started Eternal Uprise. And that's kind of the business with it.
So, you know, if I'm correct here, you are just like Eternal Uprise specifically is to kind of like help people out and to create, you know, like the content that you make with 2K and everything.
Exactly. And it's like, we don't have a border either. Like, it doesn't have to, you don't have to upload 2K or live stream 2K. You can, we got a Madden creator in there. We got Call of Duty guys. We got GTA guys. Like, we got people who just create content in general. It could be any game, any right. kind of content. It could be doing in real life videos too, like vlogs and stuff.
That's nice, dude. I tried to stream on Twitch for a while and I just don't really have like the best setup for it, you know, like it's fun and all. But for Twitch specifically, I'd probably like to wait until I have like a bigger following, because a specific incident recently it's kind of funny. Me and my friend were streaming Sea of Thieves for like 4.5 hours, right? And then like half an hour into it, his audio cut out, and we did not know for the entire time.
that sucks when that happens. That happens to me if I do stream, and like I have way more viewers, and it's like, did none of y'all notice this?
For real.
And I think it's because like a lot of streams, they don't be having their friends' audio in it. So that's kind of like, oh, this is just normal. So they might have just assumed and didn't really care enough either, whoever was watching.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I always try to include other people like in whatever I'm doing, whether it be like gaming or music or whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, I checked out your music on Spotify. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Like, kind of what's your deal with the music? I never really DM'd you about this or anything.
Like, I don't know. I guess I was kind of, at first I was just kind of bored like during quarantine and shit, and I wanted to do something. And, I found like, you know, just kind of like listening to music and listening to like interviews with people and stuff. And I thought it was like really cool what they were doing, you know, like the new generation of, like rappers or just musicians in general. You know, like just how anybody with like a laptop and, you know, just a digital workstation can release music and shit. And so I wanted to try my hand at it, and it was, you know, I can definitely tell it's a passion of mine, because like I released Flowers on Saturn on the 15th November, and like I told, like I posted on like Twitter and everything that I was gonna take a break from music for a little while, like to focus on some other stuff, and like ever since then I've just like wanted to record something like so bad.
Yeah, man, just, you know, if you enjoy it, keep going. Doesn't matter, you know, if you're getting a million streams, one stream doesn't really matter. Just keep going, man.
Definitely, man. That's, I definitely believe that, like, that whole philosophy on, like, you know, to create, even if no one's listening to you, or, you know, like, to create even if you're not getting that interaction.
Yeah, and you talked about how, like, you'd like to take a break from music, and then you're, like, kind of itching, you're getting that music itch a little bit. I think that's a cool little segue to kind of go into, like, time management, dude, because I know whenever I DM'd you saying, like, you're like, yo, what's this? What do you do? Like, I was like, well, I do this, 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 and this, and it's like, what, like, how do you do all that? And, you know, I've learned a lot about time management, dude. And it's like, and I'm kind of bringing this topic up because there might be a viewer out there, a listener out there, that's like really stuck with like, yo, what should I do? Like, I want to do this and this, but I only have time for one. You know what I mean? It's like, and a lot of people can relate to that. And for me, it's really about multitasking and kind of just making when you do something the most efficient it possibly can be. So I run 3 YouTube channels, and one YouTube channel I upload every single day. At one point I was uploading 2 videos a day on that one, but right now I'm uploading 1 a day. The next one I upload like 3 times a week, the other one 2 times a week. That's already tough for a lot of people to even handle right there. Then I make music, which I drop an album like probably every 2 months now, which is about anywhere from like 8 to 14 songs. And then also I own an organization. So, and also, you know, I need free time. Everybody needs their own free time, kind of chill.
Right.
So for me, it's like from a main channel, like people think I'm absolutely crazy in my org, man. And you might like think I'm crazy too when I say this, but I'd be tweeting about this and like my loyals be like, what? Like, what are you doing? Like, they'd be like, how do you do that? And it's like, I'll record 14 videos in one day, just back to back. What is up, guys? It's Mystery here. Today we're bringing this video and an end of video. And then all of them are 8 minutes long, so I can get the max ad revenue, obviously, too. So, you know, if we do even just 10 videos, 8 minutes long, that's 80 minutes. That's an hour and 20 minutes of talking straight. And somehow my voice doesn't, like, burn out. Like, I don't know. Because a lot of people will do something and, like, their voice would completely burn out. And, like, the only time my voice ever burns out is if I'm, like, making music for, like, extended a period, long time. Like, if I'm doing it for, like, an hour straight, my voice will start to burn out. But if I'm recording videos, it doesn't. And it's, like, really weird to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, like, because I have a friend who does YouTube, Ageless-4. You might have seen him, like, in my feed or anything, or, like, or on the podcast. I've had episodes with him on here. But, like, he talked to me one time about recording like The Forest was with somebody else one time, and they recorded for like the whole day, like just straight up. And yeah, he just like never stopped talking, you know, like they just held a conversation for like a solid 7 hours, and he's been trying to edit that footage for like a week.
Yeah, dude, it does get tough. And it's like, just be efficient as you possibly can. If you know you have 4 hours in a day to do something, maybe not record one video, edit it, and get it uploaded in those 4 hours. Maybe record 4 videos, get them edited, and upload them in the 4 hours. And that's 4 days of uploads if you upload every day. That's 2 weeks of uploads if you upload 2 videos a week. So, you know, if we're going for music-wise, maybe, you know, if you have some downtime, if you're kind of just, you know, let's say you're in school right now, and if you're in Zoom, which, you know, with a lot of people are in Zoom right now and stuff like that, there's going to be a lot of downtime. You're just kind of sitting there. In general, in school, when you finish your assignments, you don't have anything to do. You're kind of just chilling there. So you always have your phone on you or paper on you. Write some lyrics. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even have to like be to a beat. Just write something. I used to do that all the time at school. I used to just write. And people would like clown me for it too. But I'll just write constantly.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, like, I didn't used to be like that. Like, you know, like the whole music thing kind of came to me like during quarantine, like I said, and during doing this online school and shit, I'll just open up like the text app on my Chromebook and shit, and just write, like spend like the whole hour and a half just writing, like, and just pay like fuck all attention to my teacher and do like just do the assignments later, you know?
Yeah, dude, like that's just how it be sometimes too, because you don't be wanting to pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, like, it depends on what class, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, there's, like, some that I kind of have to pay attention in to pass and shit, but there's others I can just coast by.
Yeah, dude. And, like I said, this time management really is down to your own capacity, because, you know, you gotta kind of assess yourself with, like, what your brain and what your body can handle.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, like, I've spent a long time, like, recording and writing, like in one night, you know what I mean? Like, stayed up like all night and done that. And I just realized that like, I don't have that, I guess, like you said, capacity to do that. Cause then like, I'll wake up in the morning and be like burnt out as fuck and not being able to do anything until like the middle of the night. You know what I mean? And it just gets worse and worse, like as I continue doing it.
Mm. See, for me, like when it comes to the music, there was like a good point here. Like, I think it was earlier this month or like late last month. And I was like, I'm going to be Juice WRLD for a few days. And Juice WRLD, what he would do is like find a beat, maybe write 2 lines and then freestyle the rest and kind of like write it down and then re-record it once he like figured out his flows and all that. So I recorded like 4 songs in 4 days from beginning to end, finding a beat, writing it, and then recording it, mastering it, all that. I just have them sitting in my vault. Some of them, you know, actually are out. Some of them aren't. I don't think any of them are out. Actually, I lied about that. But, you know, they're all kind of just sitting there. And there's been times where I even wrote like entire 12 song albums in like 2 days and just writing, writing and finding the beats and everything. And it's like, I have like so many projects that are kind of sitting here written. And it's like, it's kind of a struggle because, you know, personally, let me throw my phone across the room real quick. All right. So I make music, obviously. And, you know, there's a, when you're a musician, at least if you want to be a good musician, you want to evolve often. And for me, you know, just albums I have written here, concepts I've written that I'm like, okay, I want to do this style. Take my current style and elevate it to different kinds of beats, different kind of things, and just innovate and make something different. And that's tough to do sometimes, especially when you're not the best natural musician when it comes to singing and rapping, whatever, because, you know, I'm natural musician when it comes to playing instruments. It's not singing and rapping. So, you know, for me, 21 Pilots and like people like that, man, they're huge for me. Cause it's like, they're so talented the way they can sing, and the dude can come, Tyler can come and rap, and all these high notes, low notes. This is insane, dude. And Convoke's a huge inspiration because he's just has flows for days. And, he's kind of like next up in this whole underground emo kind of thing. And he's not like, you know, for me, when I listen to emo rap, it's like sometimes like when it's too dark or too slow, I don't really mess with it because it's kind of like too depressing. Like, cause like obviously emo rap is depressing. We all know this.
Yeah.
But you can't listen to like depressing music 24/7, at least super depressing music. Just can't. And there's a lot of emo rap that isn't even sad. It's like flex emo rap, I call it. Shout out Aiden Hilton. He's a, the pioneer emo rap. He's up next.
Definitely.
But, that's like a term I coined for him because, you know, he does emo rap, but he'd be flexing like, I got the Benz, I got your bitch stuck on my dick. You know what I mean? Like he has all this stuff, and it's like, I call it flex emo rap because it's not about talking about sad stuff. It's talking about like you flexing, but you're doing it with emo overtones.
Right. Like that kind of reminds me of like Peep, like the way he did, you know, like,
some of his songs were like that. Yeah. Flex emo rap.
I was trying to think of like the word I wanted to use, cause I didn't want to say like majority of his songs. It's like a decent, like 50-50, I guess.
Yeah.
He was definitely one of my inspirations for like starting to make music.
Dude, I can name five inspirations. Let's play a little game. Let's both name like five people who just inspire us in the music game, right? All
right.
So my number one overall, all time, obviously has to be Eminem. That's the person who got me into making music. Obviously, like I can't just forget about him, even though like I don't use his influence anymore.
Right.
Then number two has to be Peep. Huge inspiration. Just for the style that I'm going for. Number three has to be Convoke, just because he's just a great artist. Like, I just love the type of beats that he picks, and just, oh my God. It's like, it's kind of how I felt with Peep when I first found him and started listening to him. Like, it's just overwhelming, like great music. And then you got 21 Pilots is up there, and then Mac Miller. Those are all the people. And I'm from Pittsburgh, by the way. So like, I knew about Mac Miller before anybody knew about Mac Miller. It was all over the place, just listening to him nonstop. And then remember when he first got on MTV, dude, everyone was hyped in Pittsburgh.
Oh, shit.
Bro.
Yeah, dude. I didn't actually get into Mac Miller until like super recently when Circles dropped, actually.
I didn't mess with Circles as much as Swimming. Like, I love Swimming, but Circles is like average to me.
Yeah. I guess the reason that I was drawn to it, you know, like, it's just kind of, honestly, like, I saw it at a Barnes & Noble, which is a bookstore, in case you, like, you just don't know. And they sell, like albums there, too. So I bought it because it looked cool, and I listened to it, and I just, like, vibed with it, really. And I went and listened to some of his other stuff. And Kids is definitely my favorite album.
Yeah, man, that's just legendary, bro. That's what blew him, man. That's what blew him up. And you should check out Faces, the mixtape Faces. It's actually a really cool story behind it. This man was like super addicted to drugs at the time. And this is like before the Swimming era, but after like the Kids and Good AM. No, I think this is before Good AM this dropped, but it was around the era where he's in between. And he produced pretty much the entire album himself, just kind of stayed in his little studio that he had in his house. Never would leave it. And he would just make music constantly, just do his drugs and watch TV and then make music. And he was like so depressed. He was like, dude, I'm gonna end up dying off these drugs. Or there was like two stories that were out. It was like, I'm either gonna die off these drugs or I'm gonna commit suicide by the time, like, after I drop this album or mixtape. And that was his like whole outlook during the entire process of making. It's like 20 songs, almost 2 hours long. And it's like really sad, but also like uplifting, is normal Mac Miller stuff. And it's a really interesting album once you think about it, going into like thinking like in his mind of, I'm probably going to overdose on drugs by the time this album is done and released, or I'm going to commit suicide after I release it. And he never did either of those. But, you know, as we all know, he eventually did die. Rest in peace, man. That was crazy when he died. But it was an interesting outlook. But, like, you know, who are the artists that like inspired you, honestly, like other than Pete?
I think that, like, you know, I think like the number one person who inspired me to like start making music was Pete. And not even like necessarily because of his music, but because of his, like, his story and like who he was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Just like, you know, he was making music, like recording at night when like his mom was asleep and shit, and just like putting it out there, you know. And I think that was like super fucking cool. And yeah, I mean, and that's kind of like how I do it, whether it be subconsciously. Like, I've never actually thought about it, you know what I mean? But I do kind of like do it similarly to the way that I've read about, like, you know, him saying that he recorded and shit in interviews. I'm just now like thinking about that, like connecting the dots, I guess.
yeah.
I guess, like, secondly, obviously Eminem, like, mainly for his lyricality. I love the way that he writes and like flows his shit together. It just sounds good. Like, you know, like, I feel like no matter what Eminem goes on, it would sound good.
Yeah.
My dog was like trying to eat me real quick. I had to push him away. Third, I don't know. Probably like Scarlord. It doesn't really like, yeah, it doesn't really correlate to like a lot of my music except for like that one song that I don't like. I just like the way he is as well. It's kind of similar to Pete, like the way that he interacts and shit, and like his style. I love his fucking style. And it's again with like lyrics. I love his lyrics and the way he flows.
Yeah.
It's at I'm not sure if you ever heard of Alan Wolf. He's an artist that I interviewed on here like a minute ago. And he's been making
music.
I've heard the
name, but I don't think I heard that music.
He's super fucking talented, dude. He's been doing music for like a decade now, and he hasn't gotten the recognition that he deserves, like, in my opinion. But like the way that he like he mixes all of his own stuff, he, you know, like his production style, his the music videos he has. He's done a short film that I loved, and I don't know, like, he really inspires me like to continue making music, you know, like to be creative and shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just, he's like just a super cool person in general. And I think that like inspires me to continue doing music because of how he has turned out, you know, like still being like an underground artist, but still like, you know, getting like the amount of recognition that he does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I think like the fifth most, probably, like, I don't know, I guess X.
X.
Yeah, just the way that he, like, meshed all those styles together, like, you know, through the years.
Yeah, dude, I can't respect anything that's dropping nowadays, though, dude. Like, the label, bro, it's just going crazy with them. It's like I'll have a song pop up on a playlist, or I'll see an opportunity to listen to an X song that came out after he died, and I'm like, I'm boycotting it, because it's like, it's not X, bro. It's like, it's not the same. I don't want to respect, like, them really using his name for money like that.
Yeah, man.
So I just don't listen to X anymore, unless it's this, what is it, 17 or the question mark album. Those two albums I'll listen to, but, or in like his like old like underground stuff too, but nothing after that.
Yeah, I think the only music that I've really listened to from him like afterwards is Riot, which came out like most recently, I believe.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was definitely like a money scheme, like you said, but I like the song because of the lyrics and the production style.
You should definitely check out Lil Darkie. He's like a huge underground guy right now.
Bro, okay.
Starting to get up there.
Listen, I a friend of mine referred me to Lil Darkie because he thought that I would like his style, but I just don't enjoy it for some reason. I don't know.
personally, I don't listen to him, but I just know like a lot of people mess with him, and like I know his style, so like I recommend him whenever I can because he's an underground guy. You gotta love him.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, he definitely has, like, a lot of stuff going for him. Like, his whole, like, his music videos, like, are, like, really sick. And his little character is pretty cool. But I think the way that he, like, produces his vocals, it just doesn't sit well in my ears, I guess.
Yeah, that's a common thing for people to say.
Like, I guess it kind of sounds like he's, like, screaming into a corner. You know what I mean?
Just screaming at the corner, dude.
Yeah, dude. And like, and all that sound is just like bouncing off each other. I don't know. It just makes me like cringe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely has a lot going for him. Like I said, like his style is super sick. Like in the way of like the animated music videos and his character and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
It's super cool. What are some, like, weird artists that you listen to? Or, like, content creators, like, YouTubers or anything? Like, some wacky people.
Let me think about this. So, when it comes to music, honestly, I don't think it should come to mind, but Oliver Tree. Like, he just comes to mind for me because he's, like, that voice is, like, so annoying, but, like, it sounds so good to me.
And, like, about Oliver Tree, like, I'm super into Oliver Tree, and I love, like, his whole thing. Like, I'm not sure if you saw it on YouTube. He released a thing about, like, his diet, and it was, like, supposed to be, like, a joke. It's just, like, it's super funny and shit, and he just, like, releases a lot of stuff like that, you know? And his music videos are, like, comical, I guess, like, kind of.
Yeah, like, he has, like, a good sense of humor. He's kind of using, like, the meme culture to his advantage.
Definitely, dude.
When it comes to, like, YouTubers, like, I don't even know, like, off the top of my head, some, like, weird ones.
Yeah, I don't think there is really a lot of, like, a ton of, like, weird YouTubers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. I'm trying to think of one now, too. Shit. I don't know, man. Probably, like, I guess, like, early PewDiePie, if I can say that.
Yeah, you definitely could, technically.
Because he was just, like, super fucking crazy. I guess Markiplier is still kind of, like, kind of weird and shit.
I never got into, like, Markiplier like that.
He's probably, like, my favorite YouTuber, honestly.
Mm. My favorite YouTuber, like, as we speak right now, YouTuber named Troy Dan. He's really entertaining.
Nice.
And then also just Patrick CC. He's a huge guy for the underground rap scene. Who else? Luke the Notable. He just has, like, those, like, 100 days in Fortnite. Or, like, not Fortnite, Minecraft. Or, like, 100 drops at this location. It's, like, really entertaining to me.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And there's a few of the creators that are pretty cool. I just can't really think of them off my head, but those are guys I can think of like right away.
I think that like the weirdest like musician that I'm really into is Swayco. Have you ever heard of him?
I haven't.
He was originally went by Swayco the Child, but he like switched up a bunch of shit and he's going by Swayco now. He changed a bunch of stuff, like, on Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, like, everything, you know what I mean? Like, he pretty much just, like, rebranded. But, he's kind of, like, wacky and shit. Like, he has, like, or he did, I'm not sure if he still does, but he had, like, long electric blue hair, and he had an album cover of him, like, of him using one of those, like the tinfoil, like, tan things, you know? Like, just sitting in a big pink flamingo float, and, like, his Twitter is super fucking funny, and I just find him like amusing, but his music also fucking slaps.
Mm. I was about to say, like, what's a huge, like, guilty pleasure artist that you listen to? But like, I wouldn't even be able to answer that question myself. So I don't even know if you'd be able to,
like, you know, honestly, what does that actually mean? Like, guilty pleasure,
like, you shouldn't be listening to them, but you do in secrecy.
Ooh, probably like the Beatles, honestly.
Okay. So that's honestly like a great band, dude. Historic, like.
Yeah,
so,
man.
But it's like, not something you want to be like, I listen to the Beatles. They're gonna be like, what?
Are you like not 60.
Yeah, dude, exactly.
Yeah, bro. Cause like, I remember one time, I was chilling, right? And my friend called me and I answered and he heard like Strawberry Fields in the background. He was like, "Are you listening to the Beatles right now?" And I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "All right." Just seemed like so fucking like, not like mad, but just like weirded out by the fact that I was listening to the Beatles.
See, I'm about to say this, but make sure I don't go on a tangent because I can talk about this for like 8 hours. So people just hate anything that's different. Like, I could come up with like the most original thing in the world and everybody would hate it just because it's so different. But then the second it works, everybody's there to do it themselves.
Shit, dude. Okay. I would love to do like a whole episode about this, like, honestly, because I really feel that like the people like really just kind of hate on something that I haven't seen before, you know, until like it blows up and they're like, "Oh yeah, I was there," you know, like when that happened.
Like, it's even happening right now with Peep. Like, everybody seems to hate Peep for some reason. He didn't do anything to anybody.
Yeah,
but then they'll go and listen to Juice WRLD or X, like newer X, and it's like you realize they're essentially very similar styles, right? Like,
yeah, I honestly, like, this is going to be, like, controversial, I guess, but I think that Peep did it way better. Like, the whole, like, emo rap thing.
I think here's how I explain it to people. Peep, if you want to listen to actual emo rap, you're going to want to listen to Peep. If you want to listen to, like Juice WRLD, in my opinion, is more, like, more pop emo, like, kind of making it more how pop punk used to be, kind of like with the rap version. That's kind of like pop punk rap. I don't know what to call it, but
yeah,
that's what Peep was. And then X was more like, not Peep, I mean, sorry, Juice. That's what Juice was like. X for me was more like kind of like lo-fi, closer to, in a way, like lo-fi emo.
Yeah, I mean, like, I go into Juice WRLD like more for his freestyles, because he was definitely like a beast.
Like, what I'll also say about, like, those three artists is, like, this is kind of controversial, the way I'm going to say it. There's a whole explanation behind it, but for me, especially Juice, but Juice and X are part of this, they kind of talk about emo and depression and stuff like that more general. They don't really go into detail with it and, like, really kind of continue on with it. They kind of say, you know, popping these pills, blah, 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 and then just keep on going, like, flex whatever they do. But then people be like, talking about it every single song throughout the entire song, like, and he goes really in depth. And I think that's why people don't like Peep as much, because he's really like,
yeah,
if you listen,
like,
to him, you're really like admitting that you're fucking depressed.
Yeah, like, he actually talks about problems and not just, you know, like halfway solving them, I guess, like, if that's a good way to put it.
And that's the thing that, like, I can explain 21 Pilots as, is like, it's kind of funny. I seen a video of it and they were like saying how 21 Pilots makes every song, and they were like, you know, he kind of jumps onto a topic and jumps right off. But he'd be like, "My depression is so dark, but you don't know about it because you don't know about me." And then they'll just like go into the next line. They're like, "What? Why do you even mention it if you're not going to tell me what?"
Definitely. I don't know. Like, I've heard a lot, and I kind of like created this little theory that, like, specifically about, like, you know, 21 Pilots, which I listened to when I was like a little bit younger, but, you know, that people who like, who feel like similarly are going to enjoy it, but people who don't like have that feeling, you know, are not going to like vibe with it because they just find it like really depressing and sad and shit.
Yeah. And I just don't like people, and this could be controversial as well, who like try to hide like the real feelings or emotions to like come off as cool. Cause like, listen to emo rap, it doesn't come off as cool unless like you're really trying to be like e-boy or e-girl, like. And that even us, like, considered not even cool anymore. It's kind of overplayed.
Yeah. Like, I remember one time, like, in middle school, I was talking, like, to somebody about Peep. And, like, this kid came up to me and he was like, "Who is that?" And I showed him, like his SoundCloud and his Twitter and shit, you know. And he was like, "That's fucking weird. Like, you know, you're weird for listening to that."
But it's like, here's the thing that kind of goes back to that whole different conversation is, in reality, everybody will hate on what's different. But the thing is, like, 90% of the time, the thing that's that different will work way better than just sticking to the same exact lane that, like, everybody likes to, you know, come with and compare with.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like all the like artists and like as in like musicians and artists who like, you know, like make actual art and shit. They've all like the ones who got like actually big, you know, have, you know, created their own style, whether it be like from mixing like a ton of like way different stuff to make like this new thing, or just going like, you know, like on their own and not like not having those influences and stuff. I think like the biggest people who are actually good, like, you know, start with a completely different, like a clean slate.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just like the whole different thing, you know, and people not liking it. I feel like I there's some people who would say they don't like it, you know, like and listen to it and like, or say they don't like it before they listen to it and then end up like, you know, really enjoying it like once they do. And I don't know. I just feel like that's kind of like overused as an argument, like just to say you don't like something. And people, like specifically my sister, like whenever she has like her boyfriend over or whatever, and like I think it was the Old Town Road song, which is like way overplayed. It's a decent song though. He said that he didn't like it, and I asked him why, and my sister like told me, like she was like, you know, like shut up, he doesn't have to have a reason, or like, or something like that. And I was like, I'm not like, you know, like getting mad at him for not liking it. I'm just asking like what he doesn't like about it, and he just couldn't give me an answer. And he finally admitted that he hadn't actually listened to the whole song.
My thing is, like, this doesn't correlate with that, but it's like nowadays specifically, nobody wants to like be themselves. Like everyone's so scared of being themselves.
Yeah, because I don't know. I feel like social media has kind of played a part in that. Like if you don't fit into like a certain trend or whatever, people like hate on you. And I don't think that's like just it's not cool.
Like for me, I've seen literally both sides because, you know, I got pulled out of like public school to go to like online school in like late seventh grade. But like the entire time before that, I was just trying to fit in. I was trying to be like, you know, with all the cool people, whatever. And the craziest thing about that is that, you know, when I left that school, you know, didn't really care anymore. Didn't matter to me. Nowadays, you know, those people who I was really trying to fit in with ended up being my friend anyway. And it's like, well, what the heck? Like, you know, I didn't even try. I don't care anymore because it's like I was just myself. I didn't really care.
Definitely, man. It's kind of a similar thing with me. Like when I was in school, like specifically like elementary school in like sixth grade, when I was like still like, I mean, I still am a kid, you know, but I was like, I guess, childish, I guess, like more. And I just wanted to like fit in with everybody, you know, and like not get made fun of, I guess. But I think like around like seventh grade, I figured out that it sucked trying to fit in constantly because it just like made me have like a bad self-image of myself. And so I just started like doing my own thing and like, you know, like dressing the way that I personally thought was cool and like doing my hair the way that I thought was cool. And everyone kind of like gravitated towards me after that.
How old are you?
I am 15.
Oh man, I'm about to be 19.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, dude. What's crazy to me is just like how much you really care when you're younger to like be like everybody else.
Well, I think like for me, like it wasn't about like wanting to be like everybody else, like because I got like made fun of a lot in school, like just for like, you know, for being myself, like you were saying, and I just like was tired of that, so I wanted to. I guess on a certain level, I did want to be like everybody else, but it was more so like just not wanting to get bullied anymore.
And for me, I don't know, like, you know, if you kind of go to path yet, but like the amount of confidence I have myself. And I saw the Joint Disgrace episode and they were like, there's those people who are just too confident with themselves. Guys, myself is that confident, but I'm at that certain level of confidence where it's like, I know where I'm moving and how I'm going with my life. And like, I'm literally putting myself out there, 3 different YouTube channels, owning an organization and making music, all of that, plus living life. And it's like, the amount of confidence that I have, even though like I do make emo music, it's like I have so much confidence. And it's like, yes, there's always gonna be that self-doubt and always gonna be like should I really have done that? Like the second thoughts, and it's like, eh. But my kind of thing is like, leave second thoughts to be second thoughts. Don't you know, try to prepare for them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely, like, that level of self-doubt will come with any profession that you go into. But, like, you know, making, like, what you want to do. You know, like, you do your YouTube stuff and your music, like you said. And I don't know. It does take, like, a level of confidence to, like, even, like, record something, let alone release it, you know. And with any level of confidence will come that self-doubt, I feel like.
And, like, this is just a huge flex right now I'm about to put out. But you know this just as well as I do. Everybody wants to be a YouTuber now.
Everybody. Yeah, dude. That
and
shit.
I'm about to be 19, and this is my job, my full-time job.
Bro. Like, honestly, like, when we first started talking, I kind of, like, pegged you as, like, maybe, like, 22 or 21.
No, man. I'm about to be 19 on the 27th.
Bro, you are, like, a wonderkin. Yeah, man, like, you're I hate to say this, but I haven't actually had the chance to listen to your music yet, just because, like, you know, I've been doing a lot, like, since yesterday when we talked. But your covers look really cool, and it seems like you have a super cool style.
Yeah, I make all my covers myself, and that also goes towards the YouTube channel. That, like, if I didn't make all my own thumbnails, all my own designs, I'd be spending hundreds a month on that.
Oh, fuck, so yeah, dude.
And, like, huge YouTubers that I know, they're like, dude, you should just do thumbnails for people. You can probably get $5 per thumbnail at least. And it's like, no, I'm good. Like, I'd rather be a YouTuber.
I mean, like, I think that you could, like, probably, you know, if you wanted to. Because you make, like, cool thumbnails, you know.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't want to add that and just mess with other people's times, potentially.
Yeah, I can, you know, I can relate to that, I guess, like, a little bit. Hey, you know, just due to time's sake, I'm gonna have to, like, kind of wind this down. But it's been great talking to you. You're a super cool person, dude. I'm glad that I got to, you know, have you on here.
Dude, I'm super happy that you even let me on. Honestly, like, this is just an amazing experience, and you know, you seem like a great person.
Yeah, man. I mean, definitely. Like, I think that anyone who, you know, does anything creatively should, you know, have chances taken on them.
Definitely.
So, you know, if you want to, like, shout out, like, your SoundCloud, your YouTube, anything, now is the time.
Oh, dude, forget shouting out myself. Let's shout out every single person I mess with. Not really, but a few. Eternal Mabel. Obviously, the podcast. Shout out to the podcast.
Yo.
Shout out to everybody who doesn't play 2K because you're saving money.
Minecraft boys.
My boy Sizda on YouTube. His name is Sizda. And just shout out low-key the 2K community because y'all waste so much money, but you're still here just like me.
Well, you know, it's been great having you, dude. It was great talking to you, and I hope to see you again.
Yeah, man. If you want to have me on again, I'll be down.
Definitely. This has been People of This Cool World. You know, listen to the other episodes if you haven't, and listen to the next episode every Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time.